Good morning. What a joy it is to be together as the family of God, to honor our Father, to enjoy fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to thank you for being here. We have some visitors here. We're very honored that you're among us. We want to talk this morning in our lesson about maintaining the family honor, the family being the family of God. Back in Genesis chapter 34, one of the daughters of Jacob was violated by Shechem, Dinah. You might remember the story. And Simeon and Levi took it upon themselves to defend the family honor. Perhaps that's maybe even how they would have described their actions. They wound up through treachery slaughtering a number of people. And as a result of their actions, rather than defending the family honor, they drug the family name through the mud, so to speak. And their father tells them at the end of that text, "You've made me obnoxious in the sight of the people of the land." So I think it is that sometimes we as Christians do things that we think will bring honor to God and to His family that really wind up being obnoxious, and rather than honoring Him, dishonor Him. We certainly don't want to do that sort of thing. We begin this morning with the concept that as children of God and members of His family, honor should be ingrained within us. It should be something that we freely give. It should be a concept that we understand. And we ourselves should live lives that are honorable before the world. We carry the name of the one whose name is exalted above the heavens. In Psalm 148 and verse 13, the psalmist says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven." The psalmist goes on in that text and describes the greatness of God as we can see in His creation and His marvelous providence for us and to us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the apostle Paul said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now think about these two concepts together. The name of God is to be honored and exalted and lifted high. We, as the family of God, are named for Him, after Him. We carry His name with us. And so it's important have this concept of what honor is and how God is so very deserving of it and what's involved in that, but also what's involved in being people who are honorable and who carry that name of God and who understand the concept of showing honor and being worthy of honor. So these are the basic concepts that we'll be dealing with in our lesson in the next few minutes. Let's start with the first most fundamental thing. As God's children, we honor the Father. He is clothed with honor. That's His very nature. Again, the psalmist in Psalm 104 and verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great, you are clothed with honor and majesty." If we understand anything at all about the nature of God, about who He is, about His greatness, His power, His creative wonder, and all that He does in His providence for us day by day, if we understand anything about Him, we know to our core that He is worthy of our honor. If you could see God with the naked eye, you would say, "Here is someone I need to honor." That's in essence what the psalmist is saying, isn't it? I don't think God is clothed in the way that we think of clothing. But the psalmist said He's clothed with honor. So to look at Him would be to recognize the need to show Him honor. In our culture today, God is not much honored, is He? He's marginalized. Many people openly doubt the existence of God. more and more so. Those who do acknowledge His existence often treat Him as someone whose very nature is subject to their own whims, to their own imaginations, that He's no different from some cartoon character that they've created. And they make God in their own image, after their own likeness, so to speak, and they make Him into whatever they want Him to be, and He's going to justify or condemn or have mercy on whoever they say, whoever they determine. And so man in our culture today doesn't honor the God who is. If they even acknowledge Him at all and honor Him at all, it's the God that they've created, or their concept of who He ought to be, that doesn't come out of His Word whatsoever. He's referred to as the man upstairs, or the big guy. We hear people say things like, Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus is not your homeboy. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 23 that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. So honoring our Father and honoring His only begotten Son are critical components of our relationship with God being what it ought to be. We honor the Father and we honor the Son with true obedience and with sincere service. The honor that we give the Lord is not merely lip service. It's not merely saying that we think He's great, that He is exalted, or singing it even. But it's much more than that. True honor is shown in our hearts with true obedience and sincere sacrifice. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, Isaiah, speaking for the Lord, says, "The Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near Me with their mouths and honor Me with their lips, but they remove their hearts far from Me, and their fear toward Me is taught by the commandment of men." They honor Me with their lips. They say that they're giving Me honor. They say that they respect Me. They say that they're glorifying Me. But in their actions, in the way they behave, the fact that they do not obey what I've told them to do, but rather follow the commandments of men, they dishonor Me. That, of course, is a passage that Jesus Himself quotes over in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, and applies to the Jews of His day. I think it's very applicable to a lot of people in the world that we live in today. People who give lip service to honoring God, but who follow their own dictates or the commandments of men. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. Malachi again speaking for the Lord, says that a son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise My name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised Your name? God comes back with the answer. They ask, well, what do you mean? We haven't despised You. We honor You. You are our father. You are our master. In what way have we despised You? And God comes back with this answer. He says, you offer defiled food on My altar. You say, in what way have we defiled You? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Here are those who claim to be honoring God, who don't understand that they're not honoring God. How are we not giving You honor as a father, Lord, is the question basically that they ask. And God says, well, you're not honoring Me because you're not giving Me your best. You're not sacrificing to Me in a way that shows that you honor Me above all. You're giving Me your leftovers. Is that what we do? We come and we praise His name and we lift up songs of praise to glorify Him, and we speak of His majesty, and then we give him the leftovers of our time, the leftovers of our finances, the leftovers of our energy, the leftovers of our hearts. God says, that doesn't honor me. In fact, you're saying that you have contempt for me. You go into a courtroom nowadays, and it's interesting to me that the man or woman who sits on the bench, clothed in a robe, is addressed as what? Your Honor. And you try going into a courtroom and not addressing the judge as Your Honor and not respecting the office which they hold and the power which they have, and you will find yourself very quickly sitting in a jail cell somewhere under a contempt of court charge. Contempt of court. That's exactly what God is saying here. You may honor me with your lips, but you're in contempt of court. You hold it contemptible. Go in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 21. In this context, the Apostle Paul is directing his comments to Jews, perhaps Jewish Christians, but certainly to those who had been Jews who relied on their self-righteousness, their relationship with God, and yet were in fact hypocrites. And again, picking up sort of in the middle of a context, but he says in Romans 2 and verse 21, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make a boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law?" What a question. "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." So we go and we talk about, oh, we got to live by that Bible, and our friends in the world and at work and at school and wherever it might be, they know that we're, you know, those Bible-believing Christians that go over to that East Side Church of Christ and known for standing by the Bible. And then we go out and we disobey God blatantly, obviously, before the world. Dishonor God in so doing. That's exactly what Paul is describing, isn't it? And so the name of God is blasphemed. Oh, those Christians, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Their God must not be much of a God at all for them to be as disloyal and disrespected of Him as they are. If we are to maintain honor within God's family, we're going to have to stop treating God as someone who's common or ordinary and His law as something that we can take or leave as we like. When we're able to see God as He is, clothed with honor, when we're able to live our lives in a way that honors Him, when we see that we ourselves, because of our relationship with Him, we ourselves are no longer common or ordinary. We have His name on us, and that makes us honorable people if we live true to it. We start maintaining the family honor by honoring our Heavenly Father. And then we are to be a people who's practiced in showing honor. We know what honor is, and we know how to show it. In so many different ways in our lives. I don't know. I can't remember in my life ever having preached or ever having heard a sermon preached just on the concept of honor. That's really what we're doing here this morning. And to have this as a guiding, overriding, fundamental concept to follow in our walk with God, in our relationship with each other and with our fellow man. if we're going to maintain the family honor, we will be practiced in showing honor. We must learn to honor others. We honor our parents. A lot of folks today are interested in honoring their fathers in a special way. We should honor our father and our mother. God actually, in the Old Testament, of course, included that in what you might call His top ten. Those Ten Commandments. Those things that He emphasized maybe above all else, although there was a lot of other, there were a lot of other commandments in that old law. These were ten commandments that He really focused on, didn't He? And in Exodus 12, 20 and verse 12, He says, honor your father and your mother. And those things are repeated. That command is repeated for us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I think it's a good time this morning to make this point. You know, Peter told Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. So this is an in-season comment, I suppose. But there's no expiration date on honoring the parents. There's no age limit where you're too old to honor your parents. It's not just teaching it to little kids. Those of you who are teens and in your 20s, you need to remember. It still applies to you. If you're in your 30s and 40s and married with children of your own, it still applies to you. If you're in the twilight of your own life and your parents have long passed on, it still applies to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul commands that if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Here you have maybe an aged widow, and what Paul is commanding is that the children and the grandchildren show piety to this parent and grandparent. The word piety, as it's translated there in the New King James Version, comes from the Greek word is eusebio, and it's defined by Joseph Henry Thayer as to act piously or reverently. Reverently. To honor. To honor your parents. Not only to honor our parents and show that, know what that means, demonstrate that. We're to honor, obviously, civil authority. I mentioned this in the lesson not too long ago, but Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7 explains that God, in His sovereignty, has placed people in positions of civil authority. And so because we honor Him, we honor them. Because we honor God, we honor the ones that He has put over us in government. Verse 7 of that text says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. I was reading an excerpt from a book by a writer by the name of Craig Groeschel this last week, and he was telling about an event that he was attending where former President George W. Bush and his wife Laura were scheduled to speak. And he was at this event, he was waiting for them to arrive, and he found himself sitting next to a person who was not a fan of former President Bush. In fact, this man told him, he said, I didn't vote for him. I never liked him. I didn't agree with his policies. And that was just the warm-up. He went on to go on and specify just a number of things that he didn't approve of about President Bush and why he didn't approve of him. And just about the time he was winding down, the door opened, and in walked George W. Bush, hand in hand with Laura. And at that moment, everybody in the room stood up and began cheering and applauding wildly as they entered the room. Mr. Groeschel said as that was going on, he looked over at this man who apparently hated President Bush, and he was standing and applauding and had a tear coming down his eye. You know what? That president, that governor, that mayor, police officer, he may not be your favorite guy. You may wish he was doing it some other way. You may not appreciate his personal life or the decisions that he's making. But you honor him. You honor him. For in so doing, you honor God. I read a number of years ago when President Obama first went into office, there was a veteran who was receiving an honor in his office. And took the opportunity to refuse to shake the president's hand. He was making a political statement. I understand why he might want to do that. Believe me, I do. I might be tempted to do the same sort of thing. But it's not showing on. It's not showing on. We're supposed to show honor not only to powerful people in government, but to all of those in authority over us. If you play sports, show honor to your coach. If you are a student, honor your teachers. If you are someone who has a mentor who's teaching you something about life, honor them. Honor your boss, even if he's not, you know, someone that, again, that you like the way he does things or even like him necessarily as a person. Maybe you think you're smarter than your boss. If I ask you to raise your hand this morning, if you think you're smarter than your boss, I suppose everybody who has a boss would probably raise their hands because everybody thinks they're smarter than their boss. It doesn't matter, though. You're to honor him or her. Practice being and showing honor to those who are over you. Husbands and wives are to show honor to one another. Ephesians 5 and verse 33, the wife is told to see that she respects her husband. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, the husband is told to show honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Here's a little secret and a kind of important key in all of this. If, wife, if you will treat your husband with honor, you will find more and more that he will be inspired to behave with honor. And husband, if you'll treat your wife with honor and respect her, you'll find that more and more she will be motivated to live a life that's worthy of that honor. And again, you may say, well, you know, my husband is, you know, the rottenest husband in the world. He mistreats me, talks bad about me, doesn't do anything, take care of us, whatever it might be. And we don't like that, and we don't encourage that kind of behavior. But still, because of the position that he has, respect him. And the more you're willing to do that, the more he's likely to become what God created him to be. And the same is true of wives. Would honor elders in the church. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And again, giving honor to our elders has tremendous power. We have five good men here serving as elders who do a tremendous job in their work. And yet, when you show honor to them, to those who lead us spiritually, I guarantee you it motivates them. It makes them take their work even more seriously. The honor of our spiritual family is maintained, what we're saying is, it's maintained by showing honor to those who deserve it. We learn what honor is all about by doing that. It's an exercise in experiencing honor. And so in the ways I've talked about so far, what I want you to see is it's like, it's not just practice, but it's practice in a way for honoring God and for honoring one another. We are family. We are family. We have a family honor to maintain because of the name of our Heavenly Father. And because we are His children, if for no other reason than that, because we are children of God, we must honor one another. Romans 12 and verse 10, the English Standard Version says, love one another with brotherly affection. This is family love. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. It's really that simple. Take that verse to heart. Outdo one another in showing honor. Lift others up. Encourage them. Esteem them highly. Express that. Tell them that you value them. Demonstrate it by your actions. And again, I think you'll be surprised to see them grow into what you speak to them in faith, what you encourage them to become. I'm going to end on somewhat of a negative note, but I think we all need to hear this. I do. There is no excuse or rationalization that's acceptable for failing to honor your brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I say that again? There is no excuse. No excuse. No rationalization that you can offer for failing to honor your brothers and sisters in Christ. You may feel that a brother or sister does not deserve to be treated with honor. Would you exempt a child from honoring his parents because the child doesn't feel his parents are worthy of honor? Would you say to a child, well, you know what, your dad's really not what he's supposed to be, so you don't have to honor him. It doesn't matter that God said honor your father and mother. It's okay, you can skip that. Is that a rationalization? Yes, the same kind of thing that we offer in the church. We say, well, that brother or sister didn't treat me the way I should have been treated. He wasn't what he should have been. And so therefore, I do not have to honor him. It won't work for a child to his parents. It won't work for a citizen to his governor. We wouldn't let it happen. It won't work for a wife to her husband. The Apostle Peter tells wives, even if they have husbands who do not obey the word, to be submissive to them and respectful of them. And why in the world we think then, when we get in the body of Christ as family, in the body of Christ, we think that we have some sort of excuse why we don't have to honor some other brother or sister in Christ. It will not wash. It just can't be. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's the command. Family of God. What a family. What a blessing we call the children of God. Let's live up to the family honor. Let's be what we ought to be. Treat one another the way we ought to be treated. God help us to do so. This morning, we have an opportunity to be a part of the family of God by naming the name of His Son and turning away from a life of sin, being baptized in water. If you confess His name this morning and become a part of this wonderful family, family that is the best family on earth and carries the honor of God with it, you'd be a part of that this morning, we'd ask you to come home.